Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat. Getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Headed into a fun Tuesday action. 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. We know you love everything about this show. And we want to hear from you, the listener. So make sure you tune in. 800-224-2004. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. Download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom, wherever else you get your podcast listening systems. We got you covered 365 days out of the year, 24/7. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. Make sure also you check in with our dear producer, Michael Hernandez, sitting on the other side of the glass. Fun final hour planned ahead. Lamar Jackson, not only wants out of Baltimore, but has requested a trade to leave the likes of the Ravens system. Is a trade actually going to transpire? Is there a team that could be interested in adding in Lamar Jackson? What teams make sense? And also, let's talk about the New York Jets for a second. They're all in on the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, but they say there's no urgency to bring him in. I politely disagree. So much to get through, but each and every day at this time, we go around the NFL, breaking down some of the biggest storylines you might have missed, and we do so in 2 minutes or less, hence the reason we call it the 2-minute warning. And this segment is brought to you by Blue Chew. Sports Madness Radio coverage of all the action this March Madness is brought to you by Blue Chew. As in basketball, Blue Chew knows it's all about confidence in performing at your best, and we want you to perform at your best whenever the moment calls. That's why you should get Blue Chew, which has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it comes in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Guys, you want your team to perform big in the biggest game? We want you to perform big in the biggest moments. Help your performance by going to visit BlueChew.com today. Oh, Michael! Start the clock.
Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell gave a pretty strong endorsement of his quarterback, Jared Goff, while keeping the door ajar to someone else becoming the franchise QB of the future. Speaking with NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero at the annual league meeting on Monday, Campbell said he loves what Goff brings to the Lions now that they're considered contenders. The Lions are in a fascinating position now, winners of 8 of their last 10 final games last season. Although they came up short of making the playoffs, this is a team that appears to be well-built as Detroit has seen in some time. For now, there's speculation that the Lions might entertain the idea of using one of those high picks on the quarterback, or perhaps use them to enter the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. The 29-year-old Goff threw for 4,438 yards, 29 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions last season, but is only under contract through 2024.
You know, it's interesting because if you want to be in the Lamar Jackson deal, which I completely understand, he's a much better quarterback. He's a little bit younger than Goff. He has a little bit more upside due to the dynamics and the dual threat mobility. By all means, do so. But at the same time, I think what you're seeing is an organization say, we like what we have in our quarterback that is not going to cause any drama. It's not going to break the bank. It's not going to cost us an arm and a leg to bring him in. We're not going to have to give up all this draft capital to be able to add him to our roster. And we like the fact that he has played up to the standard and has some feel with the locker room and with the presence of the offense. It's a smart move. You're keeping the door open to where you can say, listen, if we want to bring you in for a conversation about being our franchise quarterback for the long run, we're more than happy to do so. But this is the amount we're willing to pay because the quarterback that we have currently on the roster is certainly good enough to keep us in playoff contention. Here's the question that you have to ask yourself if you're Brad Holmes and you're Dan Campbell. How far can Jared Goff take you? Because this offseason was one of the best offseasons for Detroit in a very long time. They are an up-and-coming franchise in a city that has been waiting for a championship for decades now. There's no longer great continuity with the Detroit Red Wings. The Pistons haven't been relevant since 2004, and the Tigers are still trying to pounce their way up in the AL Central standings. So the Lions right now are the best team in Detroit, and they have the easiest pathway to winning a championship in the near future. I would argue that they're a top five team in the NFC. You could argue that with Lamar Jackson, if he is the right quarterback that can actually elevate your team, they're probably a top three team. But if you're not willing to pay the price and you feel like that he can't really elevate your game to the next level, then probably you feel good with Jared Goff. It's a good way to say we believe in Jared, but even if we want to keep our options open, the draft, Lamar, someone else in free agency, we're going to do so.
Don't count out the Las Vegas Raiders from drafting a quarterback, possibly even with the number 7 overall pick in the 2023 NFL Draft. Raiders head coach Josh McDaniels said on Monday at the annual league meeting in Phoenix that the team is not ruling out the drafting of a quarterback following the signing of Jimmy Garoppolo. Following a 6-11 season, the Raiders needed plenty of other positions to make the team better. That record included losses to the Colts and Jeff Saturday's coaching debut into the Rams 2 days after Baker Mayfield signed and played nearly the entire game. The Raiders also were gift-wrapped a win thanks to the boneheaded Patriots lateral in the final seconds. Garoppolo is expected to help. The 49ers had a 38-17 record in parts of six seasons with Garoppolo as a starting QB, and he was 2-0 as a starter before that with the Patriots with McDaniels calling plays. The 49ers were 13-19 in games started by all other quarterbacks from the day Garoppolo arrived in San Francisco. But as relatively impressive as the record reflects on Garoppolo, that statistic inherently shows the Raiders need to add to the QB room. Garoppolo's injury history is lengthy, having suffered season-ending injuries in three of the past five seasons.
Look, it's not the fact that I think that when you talk about someone like when you talk about somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo, you don't need to be in the market for a QB, because naturally, why wouldn't you want to be in the market for a QB? You absolutely should consider all your options, especially when you have a quarterback that is oft injured, often finds himself some point on the regular season on the IR, and doesn't give you a full 17-game season. But here's my thought process of this. Where do you draw the line on getting a quarterback? Because if you believe Anthony Richardson has all the upside in the world and can be a viable starter, say by 2024, then go ahead and make this move. But if you don't view him as a legitimate force and a top 10 passer in the NFL, then why are you going to go ahead and make this move? I didn't like the move with Jimmy Garoppolo in the terms of what you had to do with Derek Carr, because it felt like it was very lateral. But at the same time, do you believe that Will Levis and his upside is higher than Jimmy G? If not, then don't draft him. You're not a team right now that can be in the running just to add in a quarterback and say, oh, we're going to sit him for a year and expect the best. You have no idea if your Josh McDaniels is going to be back in 2024. And that means if a new head coach comes in, they're going to want their quarterback. So that is something that is a big selling point to me. If you don't believe in Will Levis and Anthony Richardson as guys who can elevate your team 2 or 3 years down the line, there's no reason to bring them in. You're nowhere near close to being a contender, not even in the AFC West, in the AFC in general. You got to get the right players in the building. That's number one priority for Las Vegas this offseason.
Kevin Byard and the Tennessee Titans appear at crossroads this offseason after the club approached the two-time All-Pro safety about a pay cut. It was reported earlier this month that Byard rejected the pay cut and hoped to remain with the Titans, but the ball appeared on the team's court. Carr then rejecting the release reporting, but not the part of the team approaching the safety about taking a pay cut, underscores the situation is up in the air. Tennessee's GM added that he has a ton of respect for KB and we'd love for him to continue his career as a Titan.
Why not? I understand where Rand Carthen's coming from. I really do. You want to go ahead and bring in your type of players and your type of scheme that fit your type of system for the long run. But Kevin Byard is one of the best safeties in the NFL. He's always going to catch you about 3 to 5 interceptions per season. He's a leader in the locker room. And if you're not hitting the entire reset button by letting go of guys like Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, you need somebody back there who can be that vocal presence for your team. So, yes, If you are getting rid of everything, you're getting back down to the literal studs of a team, then by all means, trade him. Get rid of him. Do what you gotta do. And get draft capital for him. But if not, this is a leader of your team, a focal point of your defense, and a presence and a face of your franchise. You have to have somebody in the building. And part of the reason why I say this is not because of you want to be able to stay in contention status. It's because you want to be able to show the world, hey, I actually still want to have some relevancy. Either get rid of the entire team, trade Derrick Henry, trade Ryan Tannehill, and trade Kevin Byard, or come to an agreement with him. He's earned his money.
As a selected Kenny Pickett in the first round, the only QB to go in round one in 2022, this offseason is much different for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Instead, the focus is on building a support system around the young quarterback. After becoming the starter in week 5, Pickett showed enough flashes throughout the season for the Steelers to be confident he's their franchise quarterback. It wasn't a flawless rookie campaign by any stretch, with the offense sometimes lacking explosiveness and continuity. But Pickett showed heady playmaking and ability to escape pressure and a good rapport with his wideouts. Tomlin believes that the continuity in retaining offensive coordinator Matt Canada in 2023 will help Pickett's development.
To me, the biggest thing is that, like, you still need to get a left tackle. Like, if you can find yourself a left tackle in this year's draft, then I think you've hit a lot of the good moves. Because of you upgraded last offseason by getting Mason Cole in the building, you added in James Daniels, now you add in Isaac Salamolo, which is really good signing for the interior offensive line, but you got to protect the blind side. Receiver play is fine. George Pickens and Deontay Johnson will do their job, and I think Najee Harris will have a rebounding year. It all comes down to left tackle. Add that in, I think you're in a good spot. There you have it. 2-minute warning, right here on Just Saying It.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited, thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen. We made a decision to go with Lamar Jackson 5 years ago, right? Why? Because we love him. We love him. We love the way he plays. We love his mindset, his charisma, his style, the way he is in the locker room. Everything about him, we love him. I love him personally. I love being the coach of the team that he's playing quarterback for. So that's what you do. You know, you build the team around your players, and that's what I'm excited to do. I do. You know, you gotta plan for all the contingencies for sure, but I'm pretty fired up about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player. Lamar came back in great shape last year. He's fired up to play. That's the Lamar that I'm looking forward to seeing. Can't wait to get back on the grass and go to work, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
So that being Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh discussing a tweet that went viral right before the AFC coaches meetings in the likes of Phoenix, Arizona. 800-224-2004. So for those of you that don't know, Lamar Jackson is on the non-exclusive franchise tag. What exactly does that mean? Well, it ultimately dictates what will happen to him on the open market. He can go ahead and meet with other teams. All 31 other franchises can go ahead and bring him in. They can offer him a deal. They can say, this is what we're willing to pay you. This is what we think you're worth. And if he agrees to it, Baltimore will have a certain number of hours to either match the deal or say, we're going to move on. We're going to take 2 first-round picks. Bygones be bygones. Let's go ahead and get rid of it. The thing was, and I spoke to some people around the league earlier this offseason, there was a sense that Baltimore was waiting for another team to make an offer to Lamar for them to be able to match it. Now, why is that important? Well, for starters, because of they could not come to an agreement on any bit of what guaranteed money was worth. They offered him a deal. I think it was $133 million guaranteed. It was a 3-year contract. He was going to be the long-term guy. But if another team is willing to offer, say, $200 million, that's what the market demands for a franchise-caliber quarterback who is also MVP. Well, now, nothing seems to be going right for Lamar Jackson. And I mean nothing. You can go ahead and talk about anything from the likes of meeting with teams. It can go to him trying to get a long-term deal done with Baltimore. It's all just gone haywire, and it is going to sour very quickly. Well, yesterday, right before John Harbaugh decided to talk, he tweets out that on March 2nd, he asked the franchise for a trade. He's ready to move out of Baltimore, he's tired of the organization dragging its feet, and he wants to play elsewhere. Here's the thing, though. He can absolutely go play elsewhere because he's on the non-exclusive franchise tag. But at the same time, it does feel like there is no market for Lamar Jackson. And even though I would say that he is 26 years old, he has the mobility aspect, he's a former MVP, and he's improved as a passer every single year. If the league is telling you something, what else do you need to know? But at the same time, you can't feel bad for an organization like Baltimore. Baltimore knew what it was getting into a few years ago when Lamar won the MVP. The second that his name was added to a list of quarterbacks and passers in the last two decades to garnish the award, they had to realize that they had a franchise-caliber quarterback in the building. You're already seeing deals be trying to get worked in for Justin Herbert. You're trying to see deals get worked in for Joe Burrow. Josh Allen got paid after his third season in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes was an MVP, one-time MVP, when he got offered basically $500 million to become the franchise QB in Kansas City. The crazy part is that Lamar Jackson at this point needs to do two things if he wants to be successful. Number one, he has to hire an agent, because every single time he goes and sits down and negotiates a contract, it's not him and an agent, it's not him and somebody else, and it's not him and representation, it's him. And so when he does that, he gets to hear everything negative that's said about him in front of the eyes of the team that drafted you. And John Harbaugh could say a lot of good things. John Harbaugh could absolutely believe that right now they love Lamar Jackson. But there are going to be massive stipulations against his game, and the injury concern plus the lack of limited play outside of his mobility over the time of the wear and tear on the body is going to deteriorate the style of what he's worth. And so every single time that he goes into these contract negotiations, he has to hear things that make him suck, things that people don't like about him, things that the organization wants him to change. Let me ask you something real fast out of people. 800-224-2004. Name the last time you actually sat down with somebody and loved to hear about your flaws. Name the last time you enjoyed hearing about where you fall short, where you need to improve, what about you just does not work for this team, this organization, any of that bit. Name the last time you heard that in your life and tell me that you were okay with what was being said about you. It never is. But when you don't have a buffer that actually separates what the team believes in you and what you think you're worth, it sours the relationship. Right now, I'm not sure this is salvageable for the likes of a team like Baltimore for multiple reasons. Number one, they could have gotten a deal done years ago and they chose to drag their feet because they realized we have a guy that's under contract for the next 3 years. Why go ahead and rush something that doesn't need to be done anytime soon? And number two, you also realize that when everyone else was getting upgrades at wide receiver, upgrades at running back, offensive line, defensive players, Baltimore was adding in defensive players, but they weren't adding in playmakers. So that ultimately soured what the overall demeanor was for the team. Yeah, you have a good tight end in Mark Andrews. Name your next weapon. Name your next go-to guy. Name all that. But the other thing that we'll say is that at the same time, when the market is telling you what you are worth, why are you going to go through the stipulations? I don't know what is going to change about this in any single facet. Because Lamar Jackson can go sit down and meet with other teams, have these same type of conversations, and a lot of them are going to tell him the exact same thing. And it does sour and it does suck to hear out loud. But when you hear right now that this is what it's going to take to move you, this is what we're willing to pay you, why would any other team be willing to not have that same type of conversation? It's going to be brought up. It's going to be mentioned. And as of today, it feels like that every team is going to say the exact same thing. We like you. This is what you're worth. If you don't like it, that's what you're worth. Unfortunately, we're going to go in a different direction. And he has to hear all of it. So the negative connotation around his name in Baltimore is certainly automatically a turnoff for him and his future. But at the same time, he has to deal with it. It stinks. So at this point, how do you not hire an agent? That's my very first thing that I would say. How do you not bring in an agent that would be able to elevate your team, make you feel better about yourself? Number two, how do you also not try and salvage this with any bit of the thing? And ultimately, how is Baltimore taking this? People always want to turn the sides on what's been going on for the player. But at the same time, imagine waking up in the morning thinking that you're going to be talking about the entire offseason plan. You're going to be talking about everything that's going on with your organization, where you fall short, where are some things you need to upgrade, all these other little tidbits. And instead, all you're talking about is Lamar Jackson tweeting out about he demanded a trade and things that were kept behind closed doors are now out in the wide open. I don't know if this is salvageable. I really don't. And I feel like at this point, Baltimore is going to consider all of its options. And they have to consider all their options. That could mean signing Lamar Jackson to a long-term deal. That could mean trading him away to whichever team offers the highest bid. That could mean allowing him to meet with teams, and then whatever the offer is, whatever it may be, from Atlanta, from Washington, from Seattle, from Detroit, from Carolina, from whoever it is, any one of them can go out and say, you know what, we're cool with it, but I need to move on. We need to go ahead and start fresh. It just doesn't feel like it's working, and it honestly doesn't know when it will. I don't think that Lamar will be a guy who sits out next season. So there is the conversation. Could he potentially just miss all of next year? Sit out, not play on the franchise tag, pull the Le'Veon Bell move? I don't think so. Because as of right now, the injury concerns were a bother. And also, he didn't play at the end of the year. So you automatically worry about what his stat line would be because he didn't play late in the season. But at the same time, you worry about what he would be on a new team. And especially the last image that you have of him is him hurt. Does that hurt his value? And number two, you got to remember this. Baltimore can just franchise tag him again. Franchise tagging a quarterback is often common to see it done twice. Any other position, it feels a little far-fetched. I remember when Washington franchise tagged Brandon Sheriff twice, and I was very concerned. I was like, why are you doing that for a guard? It's not a premier position that you need to pay a lot of money to, and you could probably develop it a lot faster. But at the same time, quarterbacks don't grow on trees, and franchise quarterbacks simply don't either. Washington has been looking for a guy to actually lead their organization since Kirk Cousins left after doing the franchise tag twice. Dallas did the franchise tag twice on Dak Prescott just to guarantee he was going to stick around. So if the market isn't there and the asking price isn't there for Lamar, Baltimore's not going to let them walk into free agency like it's willy-nilly. But at the same time, what else can you do at this point? He's not happy in the team. The team is not happy with you either. And after what just seemed to be a not promising by any means strip of the situation, meeting in the offseason, now there's more concerns about the team heading into the regular season and its long-term future.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Welcome back into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. And let me tell you about my friends over at HelloFresh. March basketball is here, and I'm already digging into the new flavors with HelloFresh because not only does HelloFresh deliver great-tasting recipes right to my front door with their new dietitian win options that have under 700 calories and make it easier than ever to stay on my wellness goals, but they also are delicious, nutritious, and delightful for you. Guys, I'm getting married in a couple months. I got to make sure that when I'm standing at the end of the aisle, my fiance Kirsten realizes she's marrying a winner. And that just not only is a winner internally, but a winner externally. Plus, who doesn't want to look good on their wedding day? You know how you do so? With HelloFresh. I recently had their creamy Dijon dill chicken, one of the best meals that I've ever produced. And I was able to say I cooked it myself at a fraction of the time that it usually takes me to do a meal prep. HelloFresh delivers pre-proportioned ingredients that cut down on prep time, food waste, and save me not only extra trips to the grocery store, but a little bit more cash in my pocket. And since their produce travels directly from farm to doorstep in less than 7 days, I know what I'm eating is F-R-E-S-H. Fresh, baby. But don't take my word for it. Taste it for yourself. If you want to go ahead and join America's number one meal kit today and get 60% off plus shipping and handling, please use the promo code HOOP60 at HelloFresh.com/HOOP60. That's HOOP60 at HelloFresh.com/HOOP60. 800-224-2004 at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. Lamar Jackson is wanting to get out of Baltimore. Whether or not I agree with the move, whether or not I think that Baltimore needs to be able to play strong, that's not the point here. The point is that there is not a market that viable right now for what you have in Lamar Jackson. And it's a shame because he's a 26-year-old kid who still has all the talent in the world to be a superstar for the next decade in the likes of the NFL. But if he's not going to play in Baltimore, he's got to play somewhere. Which teams are actually viable in adding in Lamar Jackson? Honestly, as of today, I think there's three. Now, there could be more. There absolutely could be more. The Cleveland Browns were a team when Deshaun Watson was made available that I did not think was going to win the sweepstakes. Absolutely did not think that they were moving off Baker Mayfield, and I certainly didn't think that they were going to pay top-tier dollar to bring in a kid who absolutely has all the potential in the world, but a lot of off-field concerns. I already had a quarterback that already had some on-field concerns. So which teams do I actually view today could add Lamar Jackson, and it wouldn't shock me in the slightest? How about we just cross out the teams that won't? Buffalo won't be doing it because they have their franchise quarterback in Josh Allen. Miami's not going to do it because they opted in on Tua Tagovailoa with the fifth-year deal. I don't think the New York Jets are going to do it because at this point, they're all in on Aaron Rodgers. And while New England makes sense on paper, this all comes down to one big name, Bill Belichick. If Belichick wants him in the building, Belichick will be able to get him. If Belichick doesn't want him in the building, well, they're running back with Mac Jones. As of today, I don't think Belichick is going to be that keen on going after Lamar Jackson. Baltimore certainly could use him, but we can't put Baltimore in this conversation. Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh all don't need franchise quarterbacks. Whether or not I believe Kenny Pickett can be a franchise guy is still to be determined, but you don't move off Kenny Pickett after last season, especially after using a first-round pick on him. The Houston Texans are going to draft a quarterback at pick number two. We can cross it off the list. Tennessee would be a very interesting place, but I'm not sure they're willing to move off Ryan Tannehill right now. And I don't know if, when you look at the roster, they would feel that much better giving up all this draft capital when they have holes on the offensive line, they need to fix the pass rush, they need to get better at cornerback. There's a lot of moves that need to be made in the offseason right now if they want to be successful. Let's go ahead and look at the AFC West. You have Denver. Denver's not moving off of Russell Wilson. He's locked in. Kansas City. They already have Patrick Mahomes. Las Vegas. If they were smart, they would have tried to call about Lamar Jackson before signing Jimmy Garoppolo to a three-year deal. But Jimmy Garoppolo is in the building. He ain't going anywhere. And the Chargers have Justin Herbert. Dallas is not moving off of the likes of Dak Prescott. Daniel Jones has signed a four-year extension with the New York Giants. And even though I think that you could see a step back from the likes of Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts has done more than enough to prove that he is a viable starter and more so franchise guy for the organization moving forward. Chicago is going to be building around the likes of Justin Fields this year. Detroit is going to be interested, and well, they should. But at the same time, if the asking price is too much, if the guaranteed money is too much, they like what they have in Jared Goff. He finished with a top five offense last year, top five in scoring. They maybe are content with going ahead and running it back with number 16. And even though I think that Green Bay and Minnesota could very well add in Lamar Jackson and thrive from the get-go, I don't think that they're going to move off Kirk Cousins because the contract nobody's going to take, and I don't think that Jordan Love is not going to leave Green Bay without getting a fair shot. Carolina has the number one pick. They 100% are taking a quarterback. New Orleans added in the likes of Derek Carr. He is their quarterback for next season. Tampa Bay is a really interesting spot. If they didn't think that they were either going to stink next year to where they potentially get the number one pick, or that Baker Mayfield didn't have any bit of potential, then I could see this being a viable location. But as of today, I think if they realize we're probably not that good even with Lamar, so why don't we go ahead and just try and get a Drake May, Caleb Williams on a cost-affordable contract to where we can pay for everyone else around us. And everyone in the NFC West does not need a quarterback, except for the LA Rams. And they're not getting rid of Matthew Stafford because nobody's taking on that deal. So there's three teams left that I did not name that as of this morning should 100% be doing everything in their power to land Lamar Jackson. First up, it's the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis has a GM in Chris Ballard, who I believe is arguably one of, if not the best GM in the NFL when he's on point. His deals that he has made are second to none. He knows how to draft talent. And he knows how to get contracts done to where he's not breaking the bank, but he's making sure that the right personnel members are in for success. Here's the problem. If you don't hit the quarterback, you have no job. You don't. It's the most important position to address in free agency. So what do? You have to be able to go ahead and decide, do you like the quarterbacks enough in this year's draft that you think that they have more potential than Lamar Jackson? If you think that, then by all means, go ahead and take a quarterback at pick number 4. But remember, Carolina's taking a quarterback at 1. Houston's taking a quarterback at 2. Unless Indianapolis needs to move up to number 1, they're getting the 3rd best quarterback. There's some weapons there. I really do think that you have a good tight end in Mo Alie-Cox. I think Jelani Woods is going to have a breakout year. Michael Pittman Jr. is a quality number 1 receiver. I wouldn't be shocked by the end of his career he turns into a number 2. But bygones be bygones. You also have a good run game with the likes of Jonathan Taylor. And keep this in mind. Shane Steichen has worked with a plethora of different quarterbacks. He worked with Justin Herbert. He worked with the likes of Jalen Hurts. He's worked with everybody out there. He could elevate Lamar Jackson. And with this defense underneath Gus Bradley, which is going to need to upgrade at several positions, but has the same continuity and feel from last year, you could feel like you could win the AFC South with these. I think everybody out there would agree with me on this one. Number 2, Washington Commanders. Washington's roster is not bad. I'm going to come out and say that even though the Commanders are a dumpster fire of an organization, and if you haven't heard Mike McDaniel talk about this, he had to pay for a cup of coffee when he was coaching on that staff, I still think that the roster is pretty dang good. I think that you have great receiver play for Terry McLaurin, Jahad Dotson, Curtis Samuel. The offensive line is not terrible. Could use a couple of pieces here or there, but not terrible. I do like what you have in the running game with Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, and this is a top 10 defense. You're missing the quarterback. And you can try and sell yourself that maybe Sam Howell is the future. Maybe you guys are going to stink next year to where you get Drake May. You get Caleb Williams to come in. That will benefit you in the long run. But if you're trying to win now, after finishing above 500 last year, playing in this division where Dallas got better in the offseason, Philadelphia still is Philadelphia, and New York Giants are going to try and bank on Daniel Jones duplicating that same success next year at Brian Daboll, then you are the worst team in your division. You don't have the quarterback. You could be the best team in your division if you add in Lamar Jackson. And last but not least is the Atlanta Falcons. Desmond Ridder did enough last year to where I think if you want to start him, he's earned that right. But keep this in mind. There have only been a handful of third-round picks at quarterback that have been successful. Arguably the most notable, Russell Wilson. Number 2, probably Nick Foles. So if Nick Foles is the closest comparison to a Desmond Ridder, because I don't think he's going to be Russell Wilson, then how can you view yourself as a viable contender in a weak division? You have the tight end, very similar type of player to what Mark Andrews brings to the table in Kyle Pitts. You have a potential rising number 1 receiver in Drake London. You have some other players that were added in this offseason. You also have a good run game with Ty Algier, a very good up-and-coming offensive line, and even though the defense is still struggling when it comes to the pass rush, I do like the addition of Jesse Bates in the secondary. That should benefit you. And this is a very winnable division. Carolina is adding enough rookie quarterback. That could be a regression for this team. Tampa Bay, you have no idea what they're doing with the likes of Baker Mayfield or with the rest of the roster. And New Orleans is a hit and miss that always seems to be just like a mid-level team. Why not, after going back-to-back 7-win campaigns, take a swing? And this is, again, an organization that a few years ago, Arthur Blank was so adamant about winning a Super Bowl with. You could easily win a Super Bowl with that, with Lamar Jackson on your staff. But those are my 3 teams that, as of this morning, can get them. Indianapolis, Washington, Atlanta.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Welcome back into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Headed into a fun Tuesday morning, 800-224-2004. Call on the show. Tell us what you like, what you hate, what you want to talk about. We love hearing from you, the listener. And make sure you also download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom. We're about to get your podcast listening systems. We got you covered 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And make sure you also download the Sports Map Radio app. Carry it in your pocket throughout your day so you don't miss a second of all of our great local programming. It's our favorite part of the show. It's the end of the show. It's our greatest segment we do every single day. Cole's Calendar, where we break down the national holiday, give you our thoughts and our stipulations on what we think is actually a good national holiday, because people in today's society think that every single day needs to be something brought up in conversation. So, Michael, what do we have on the docket for today, March 28th?
We have six of them today.
I like six. I do like six today.
First one is American Diabetes Association Alert Day.
I feel like if I don't pick diabetes, I'm telling everyone that has diabetes I don't care about you. You ever thought of that?
About what?
Like when we do these national holiday things, it's like situation awareness, like ovarian cancer awareness day. I'm not picking that one. Mm. Oh, so you don't care about us. Oh, you want all of us to die of ovarian cancer. No, that's not what I'm saying. I just think there's better options out there. Oh, diabetes. I want you to go ahead and keep having your diabetes. It's like, no, dude, there's better options out there. Like, the diabetes awareness day, like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, go get your insulin. Make sure that you're making the right amount of sugar in your body. That way you can stay alive. I'm rooting for you, people. This is because I don't pick you does not mean I think that I want you to be terrible for the rest of your life.
Next one is National Triglycerides Day.
What? Triticular size day?
Triangular size day.
Tridegular size day.
Some triangular size, I don't know.
Triticular size day. What is that?
You learn. let's see. High level. It shines a spotlight on one of the key factors of a healthy lifestyle.
The healthy I don't even want that. Like that's just too wordy. Just pick a normal word. Healthy lifestyle day. How's that one? Oh.
I mean, scientific word is better than any other word, though.
Okay, that's like when we talk about the phobias and we find out that that Erringon phobia means fear of small windows. Like, what? Just say small window fear. Small window phobia. Or windophobia or something like that. Like, it's the same thing. Don't need the scientific form. I just need the right form. Go ahead and tell me it. It's not going to bite me. It's not going to kill me. Just let me have it.
Next one is National Black Forest Cake Day.
What is a Black Forest cake? That sounds kind of delicious.
It's a German dessert, meaning Black Forest. A chocolate cake with whipped cream and cherries between each layer to make Black Forest cake.
Is it like maraschino cherries or like regular cherries? Because I don't know anybody that actually likes regular cherries.
It says...
it's probably regular cherries with
maraschino cherries.
Ooh, that sounds kind of delightful.
They decorate the cake with whipped cream, maraschino cherries, and chocolate shavings.
When you said Black Forest, I'm not going to lie, my first thought went to Black Forest ham. It's like, can you imagine like a cake made out of ham?
No.
Why?
No, I don't like ham like that.
Yeah, well, no, I don't either, but I do think that ham is delicious, and I would always eat ham. If I can get that pork in my belly, I will do so. Find a way to make it happen.
No, good.
Black, can you imagine a cold cut cake?
No.
Like that? I don't know, man. I mean, like, have you seen the bacon wrap, like the bacon flowers? Like, where they make flowers out of bacon, and they put them on sticks and skewers now, and it's like you can give, like, your significant other, instead of a bouquet of flowers, give her a bouquet of bacon.
Oh, nah.
Oh, you
I'm
would,
good.
Dude, I would do that immediately.
Nah.
If you want to go win my heart over, give me a glass of bourbon and give me a bouquet of bacon. Ooh. Oh, man. That just now my mouth is salivating. Do I want to go to Waffle House after this and go get myself some bacon?
Waffle House. I haven't been to Waffle House in years.
The only reason I say that is because like there's a Waffle House next to my apartment. And I'm like, I got so much to do today to where I'm not going back to sleep after this. And I have some time to kill. Do I just want to go to Waffle House, get myself some good hearty breakfast?
Eat, treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Is it treat yourself day? Treat
no.
yourself. It's not treat yourself day. Dang it.
But always treat yourself.
Treat yourself. No, it's treat. You got to do it on treat yourself day. That's what Donna taught us, man. That's what Donna and Tom Haverford taught us, and they taught that to Ben, and Ben bought himself a Batman outfit. Treat yourself.
Next one is...
That's a great episode.
Uff.
Oh, come on. You don't know what that's from?
No.
Parks and Rec?
No.
Oh, my God. You and the... me and you in the pop culture today.
National something on a stick day.
Bacon on a stick, bacon bouquet of flowers. I mean, I'm just saying, Michael, it just feels like it's something good. Let me ask you. Doesn't everything taste better on a stick?
I've only had a corn dog on a stick. So
you've never had, like, bacon on a stick or, like, chicken on a stick or steak on a stick?
No.
Oh, I've had steak on a stick. And it's like, imagine having a meat lollipop.
Yeah, no.
Oh, come on.
Nah, I can't do that.
Why?
No.
Because if it's too disgusting or because if it doesn't...
Nah, I'm good with my, like, a regular, like, on a plate.
Give me meat. Because you want to know what? I can carry it around throughout my day. When I went to the rodeo, I think it was the first of the four times I went this past year. I got steak on a stick. You know what I did? I walked around. I saw people playing games. They were looking like they were having a delightful time. And I was munching away on a medium-sized steak. It was delicious. Actually, it was very dry. I kept having to go ahead and dip it in something.
Nah, I'm good. I can't do that. I'll stick to corn dogs.
Let me ask you, if you had to dip a steak in something, is the steak bad?
I guess, yeah.
That's my thought process, too. I think that if you had to dip a steak in something, it's not good.
Yeah, because I never dip steak in anything, so.
Every once in a while, I'll dip it in A1 just for a little bit of taste, but if I'm at, like, a steakhouse or something like that, I better be able to have those juices be my au jus. And I better just be able to, like, circle around the juices and dip that in there.
Yeah, because when I eat steak, it's usually just at a steakhouse. And it's usually just good. Because,
Oh, it better be good if you're going to a steakhouse.
Because I'm paying, like, $60 for a 12-ounce, so.
You pay 60? I pay 40.
Yeah.
I ain't paying 60 for a 12-ounce. I'll pay 60 for a 22-ounce.
I'm paying it. It's good. I like steak 48, so.
It costs $60 for a 12-ounce at Steak 48?
Yeah, 12-ounce filet mignon.
Oh, you went with the filet. That's why. Yeah. If you get the 12-ounce ribeye, it's probably 40.
No, I'm good. I like filet mignon.
You'd rather be bougie?
I'm going to Steak 48. I'm spending the money.
So you... T-Y?
T-what?
Treat yourself.
Oh, I always treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
I'm going Saturday, so I'm treating myself.
You're going Saturday at Steak... Is it like you're in Betty's anniversary or something?
No, my dad's birthday.
Oh, that's right. You're talking about that.
So we're going... We usually go for like everybody's birthday.
Steak 48?
Uh-huh.
That's actually a pretty place to go.
And if you say it's your birthday, you get a free dessert, so...
Okay. Good win. I call that a win-win all around.
Next one... Is it the last one already?
No, we have two more, I think.
No, last one.
Really? Okay.
National Weed Appreciation Day.
What?
And it's weeds, not oh,
okay.
Other stuff.
Okay, because
that's why I say that for that. I want to see your reaction.
I say, wait, what? Are we really doing Mary Jane on the show? All right,
no,
all right. Not I was that. Like, listen, I mean, I'm not gonna complain. All right, I hereby decree National Food on a Stick Day, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you this for as long as I live: everything tastes better on a stick when you don't have to use your hands. But you can go ahead and munch down and nibble all the way down to the skewer. It is a delicious, delightful treat for you. Steak on a stick, chicken on a stick, bacon on a stick, whatever else type of meat or whatever type of food. Hey, skewers. You can have fruit skewers. You can have vegetable skewers. You can have all the type of skewers in the world. That's on a stick. Go ahead and keep your hands clean and have a delightful treat that you can carry around with you wherever you may be. National Food on a Stick Day.
Do you remember iCarly?
Yes. And tacos on a stick.
Taco on a stick. It just came to my mind.
T-Bone, how do you get this on? I don't know. That doesn't mean you're on just saying it. I'll be back tomorrow to break down more news from the NFL owners' meetings, conversations from the NBA, and a plethora of other conversations. It's Cole Thompson just saying it, signing off. Have a good Tuesday, folks. Later.